Kyle Draper's in Philadelphia hanging out with his folks. We heard from him earlier. Then tomorrow, Kyle and I will give you a we'll bring you a one-hour show before the Kings take on the Sixers. So Whitey and Jay, Simone today. Speaking of the beam, as we just were there on that announcement, Jay, I get the sense if it were up to you, you'd say, just leave it on, right? Positive thinking. Leave it on. If we need to, we'll turn it off.
I watch the ecosystem too now, Whitey. Give me some credit, brother. Man, I want
leave it on. We're expecting to win, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Well,
turn it off if we have to.
Yeah, just have somebody down there, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
That's such a bummer. You lose the game and we have to turn it off now.
Oh, I'd be the worst, too. Yeah. No, just have a live in.
Did you see the Kings won that award? I don't know if you guys touched on that yesterday. Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the best in game experience and for the beam, they won the NBA.
Organization of the year.
Yeah.
They've one thing about the entertainment of the Kings, and I don't want to say like it's official, but they've like Scott Frost and Mo and Moke and those guys, they get invited to the All-Star game just about every year because they have the best, considered the best entertainment squad throughout the league. And you see it here, man. One thing I really enjoy about the G1C is it has brought a different level of entertainment to Sacramento. You know, we've had a bunch of post-game concerts, Little John, T-Pain, and then you had just halftime. If you are able to go to the games, I love the West Coast night. I mean, excuse me, the hip-hop nights. You know, I'm a rap guy. Love them. You know, we've had, I mean, from Big Boy of Outkast to the Loonies to Sugar Free. I mean, there's so many people who have come through here, Corrupt. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I really enjoy it. It's something that I really enjoy, and I think it separates, you know, what you've seen here at the G1C compared to a lot of other arenas throughout the league, man. And they always at the All-Star game because they are always considered the best.
Before I get back to the question I want to ask you, and by the way, Slamson, every time we talk about in-game experience, Slamson is the best. Slamson's amazing. I don't think they let him do as much as they used to because insurance reasons probably, because they used to let him do some crazy
stuff,
and he pulled it off. Anyway, yeah, the whole crew, Scott Moog, Slamson, they're the best. But we have this on the text line from Alan. Alan says, there are people who are afraid to get on the people movers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, man. Whitey, I don't know, man. I think you might be pulling the wool over everybody's eyes. Either you are a roller coaster guy or you are petrified. Which one is it, man?
There's
no in between here.
No, I'm a roller coaster guy.
Okay.
I know there's some people that are fanatics and they know all the names of all of them and they make a point, I got to ride that one. And I'm not one of those people, but I like to ride roller coasters.
Okay.
I
got you.
Like
so
that.
you're not an expert, but you are a fan. You're an amateur. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm with you. That's most of us are.
Mm-hmm.
How many you know, expert, or I guess it is your job to jump on roller coasters throughout the world. I mean, good luck, man. You can make a living like that. Shouts out.
But aren't there people that almost like, they don't collect them, but they collect the experiences? And I got
for sure.
There's
it
one
sounds like
Sweden.
Jay was back here naming all the roller coasters in the break.
Yeah, I'm all about it, man.
And it would be disrespectful to people like you for me to say, oh, yes, I'm a big
roller coaster. No, not for me.
Enjoy them.
Not for me, because I'm an amateur. I just enjoy it. I mean, Simone, are you a roller coaster? Do you indulge?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is the only thing I have, and when it comes to rides and everything else, I will not bungee jump / getting like the slingshot.
See, I've done it too.
Did that once, and it was
the slingshot or bungee jump.
The slingshot, and I start to get like kind of sweaty just thinking about it.
I did the bungee jump, and I don't recommend it. Love skydiving, hated the bungee jump. Mm-mm. It was a terrible feeling.
Yeah, see, those aren't roller coasters.
No,
those are
no.
thrill-seeking people.
There's something
like
about
yourselves.
Roller coaster, your brain tells you, I'm on a track.
Yes.
I may go up, I may go down, but I'm on a track.
Secured.
But when you're just getting, slingshotted, if you will, through space, your brain's like, this is not good.
And there's no replicating, for bungee jumping at least, the sensation that your body feels of free falling. It's just not.
Free falling!
No, it's a sickening feeling, and you're, you feel like you're going to die until you get pulled back up again. You're like, okay, so, I didn't die. So
let me ask you guys real quick. And you can jump in 916-339-1140, of course, YouTube, text line. Why do it?
Oh, that's a whole thing about, what is it? The hierarchy of needs. And, you know, as humans, we have our needs.
Looking for the next high.
Yes. And you get, like, we need shelter, right? We need clothing. We need nourishment. Then you get that. It's like, okay, well, what's next? And then you get to a point where, you know, where you have a society where a lot of people are taken care of. Unfortunately, there are a lot who are not. And it's like, well, what's the kind of thrill seeking? You're always seeking that next thing. And you get to a point where it's like, let me jump in this crazy car and go up and down and woo.
Yeah, but to me, and, you know, this is just my opinion, that's different than being slingshotted out of a rubber band.
I don't disagree. I know what you're saying.
Or that's different compared to, and, you know, the argument I've had with people is, well, if you skydive, you're still connected, like your safety is still your parachute.
Yeah,
but I don't trust it. And I'm not saying statistics don't show that.
Yeah, you're fine with, you've reached your peak. You get to that roller coaster's like, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Glass ceiling.
Some people need.
Matter of fact, Whitey, it's not even a glass ceiling. It is an enclosed ceiling. I don't even want to look up and try skydiving or sling. So, okay, you did the slingshot.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Like you by yourself or with a person next to you.
It was part of a radio thing, so it was with a listener. And then we recorded it.
Yeah. What?
And they had to really make sure that microphone was strapped in.
Ooh. My promotions mind is running right now. Yeah, I'm thinking of a new promotion right now.
Yeah.
And that's even more sickening. I'm going to tell you why. You can't trust fair rides no more. Like, it's just, it's tough.
Uh-huh.
I mean, unfortunately, no. Not, like, there's certain things I'm not trusting a ride that goes in the back of a pickup. That's Jay.
Break her down. Put her back up.
Uh-huh. That's fine.
More power to you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Whitey. I see your mind working.
Man. No. Quick timeout. When we come back, I also want to know, speaking of roller coasters, if this King season is a roller coaster, what are we calling it? What's the name of the roller coaster? And I got another question for you about the embarrassment of Sunday when we come right back. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.
The NFL's leading rusher plays here.
And a handoff to McCaffrey. Walks in the end zone. Handoff to McCaffrey. Takes it right down to the goal line. He does his thing again.
McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk. A block there.
Hurdles a man. 10-5. Touchdown!
All of Christian McCaffrey's touchdowns on your home for 49ers football. Sacktown Sports.
Denise has been playing jazz for 40 years. Last concert, one of the musicians fell sick with RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems. This time, she's choosing to help protect herself with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo. Abrysvo is a vaccine for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease caused by respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, in adults 60 years of age and older. Abrysvo is not for everyone and may not protect all who receive the vaccine. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had a severe allergic reaction to its ingredients. People with a weakened immune system may have a decreased response to Abrysvo. The most common side effects are tiredness, headache, pain at the injection site, and muscle pain. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit abrysvo.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Domantas Sabonis plays here.
Keybine Sabonis, put the frosting on the cake, put the cherry on the sundae. Sabonis with a two-hand flush makes it 114-106.
Sacktown Sports is your proud home of the Sacramento Kings.
The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
I don't know. I think if we were to name this roller coaster season as if it were a roller coaster, probably like the Dominator or something like that. That'd be, you know, it's a little too predictable maybe, but it's appropriate. Wouldn't you go on the Dominator? I'd go on that.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah. We're on it now.
Yeah. Very true. Very, very true. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Look, I mean, they just They took it to Detroit after, again, a slow start, giving up 47 in the first quarter to the Pistons. Then they beat Charlotte, and that was after Sunday, the embarrassment of Sunday. So, here we are. Here's my question for you, Jay. You with your very high standards, which we appreciate, because I think your high standards can elevate all of us as Kings fans and make us a little less fearful and anxious. But what happened to the Kings on Sunday, losing to the Pelicans, 133-100, and having the coach say, "We just had no fight." Is it a little less embarrassing given that last night that same Pelicans team went into San Francisco and just demolished the Warriors 141-105?
Yeah.
They did the same thing to the Warriors that they did here.
I mean, the Pelicans are showing that they're good. They're okay, you know. I think they would be better if Zion was on board and doing what he needed to do, but Pelicans aren't a slouch, man. And one thing about it, they can play defense and they're long.
Yep.
And they have a few shot makers over there as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, you start listening, it's like you have a hard time finding things they don't have right now.
Very true. Very true. And if you go back 2 years ago, you know, last year was kind of a anomaly. Though they I believe they started well last year. Was that last year they started very well?
Yes.
Was that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they were
well, out
leading.
The gate.
Yes, yeah. Right.
No, out the gate we didn't start well.
No, we didn't.
No, the Pelicans.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Pelicans blew up. They were acting a nut in the beginning.
They were ahead of Denver for a while.
Yeah.
Zion.
So they have something. I think they're trying to – they're just like the Kings. They're trying to figure out that last piece. I think if you would have asked them, they would like Zion to kind of be that last piece, but I don't know if it's going to be that.
I don't know. Last night he had that look like, oh, he means business tonight.
Yes.
And he punished them. And then, you know, again, it's nice to look at the Warriors who've had the dynasty, and make no mistake, the dynasty is over.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's over.
Yeah, that's not disrespectful. That's just a fact.
Unless something changes drastically here at the trade deadline.
Yeah. But they're really reeling right now, and they're looking for answers. And Steph is basically saying, "Well, we keep doing the same thing and expect different results. That's that's the definition of insanity." So he's basically saying we got to trade some people. So it's nice to be here instead of there right now, frankly.
Oh yeah, for sure. Pat on our back. Mm-hmm. Hence is why I could continue to keep on telling Kings fans and the listeners, don't worry. Mm-hmm. We're all right.
If there's a downside to that, though, it is, again, you look at the Pelicans. Like, well, look what they did to the Warriors, so it's not so embarrassing what they've done to us. But standings-wise, right now, you're 23-14. You're 3 out in the West, and the Pelicans are right behind you at 3.5 out, 23-15. They've won 2 in a row, 7 of 10. That's a good team, and that's a little concerning, especially when, Jay, as you know,
what's concerning,
the Pelicans
they're behind
are right
you?
There and you can't beat them. That's one thing we know right now. To this point, you can't beat them.
Is it concerning in the fact that they hold a tiebreaker over you, or what's the concerning
part? Just
that
another team in the way. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying, oh, you might match up with them. I'm just saying you've got that team that right now is behind you, and you realize, that's a team that has the wherewithal to pass us, perhaps, and really become one of the elite teams in the conference, which is what we're trying to do.
I think both the teams are kind of in the same boat. I think they're both, you know, kayaking up the same route at this point. And
let's make it a canal, and where would that be?
Okay.
Baton Rouge. Well, they have that, like the Pirates of the Caribbean.
were going to go there. Excellent.
Staying with our team, of Disneyland.
I got you. All right.
I think somebody might have died on that ride, too.
Oh, Lord. Okay, why?
I'm not sure. I have to check on that.
See, that's why you don't go bungee jumping.
Yeah.
There you go. But I think that the Pelicans and the Kings are swimming up the same stream, honestly. And I believe the Kings, most people believe the Kings are probably one major piece, you know, maybe a few minor pieces away from doing something that could really change the trajectory of this team. And I think the Pelicans they feel about the same. The difference of it is, The Kings don't have it in-house. The Pelicans like they have it in-house,
right,
and it's just, for whatever reason, you know, Zion just hasn't finished what he needs to do to make them kind of push him over the top.
Yeah, it's a great point you raised about how well they defend. Last night, watching that game after the Kings were done, they showed their coach, Willie Green, and he's talking to Zion, and he goes, "Z, one thing." And he says, "When you get the ball in the post, you either go right away or you wait for a second. You wait for the table to be set before you eat, all right?" And they bump fists, and it's like, wow, that's good coaching.
Yeah, it is. Willie Green is showcasing that he can do it in this league, and he's done it for a few years now. seems like he's on the up and up, young cat when it comes to his coaching career. And the Zion thing is funny. Whitey, and I say it's funny because from the outside looking in, he has everything you need to dominate, be a star, be a top 10 guy. And when he is on, he is that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no stopping mm-hmm. Zion. But the funny part about it is I'm not sure he understands that compared to everybody else around him understands that. And maybe it just doesn't mean something to him. I who knows? You know, we're all trying to figure out the reason why Zion is not dominating the way he should be. But it's funny in the fact that the Pelicans kind of have what the Kings need, you know. And I would almost argue vice versa in the fact that the Pelicans kind of need what the Kings have. Like, the downfall to the Pelicans without, you know, bringing in the numbers from the naked eye, offensively, they need a little more firepower. They need a little more punch. Mm-hmm. And I thought they believe, you know, McCollum was kind of going to be that last piece because Zion was already there. But he's banged up quite a bit. Brandon misses a game or two here and there. We know what Zion has done. They just need a little more oomph. But defensively,
yeah,
they have everything the Kings need.
Yeah.
Length and a couple of guys who can perimeter and do it all.
Yeah. Herb Jones and
Herb is he's spicing it up.
Yep, I got you.
Yeah, there you go.
When they're healthy, I think they have everything they need. But it's a matter of if they are. Here's my watching this team a little bit here of late. I think Zion. I could be totally off, and I'm putting everything about his weight off court. It's just I don't know. Putting that aside, just as far as what goes on in his head when he's playing and how he has said, I'm trying to buy in. I think he's used to being in his mind. He's like, well, I'm the guy, okay? And I think when you see them all there healthy, they don't need him to be the guy. They have other guys. It's a really good team, and I think maybe he struggles with that a little bit. It's like, wait a minute, this is my team. And it's like, we got CJ, we got Ingram. You know, Valanciunas does what he's supposed to do. We don't need you to be that guy. And I wonder if, in a way, he struggles with that a little bit.
That's
how good that team is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think if he was that guy, they'd have championship aspirations. The fact that he hasn't, you know, he's not that guy is why they're sixth and behind the Kings.
Maybe, but I think they're better for not needing him to be the guy who does everything because they're so
– Do they win?
Team.
But do they – could they win if he's just a 18-point-a-night guy?
The way they're playing now, I think they might be able to.
But think maybe they could, you think the Pelicans can win a championship? As it stands today,
I think they could win the West. I think right now it's a tall order to say.
Really?
You know, because Boston's really good. Milwaukee's really good. But, yeah, I think assuming that they stay healthy, they're really good. I mean, I'm really influenced by what I've seen just the last two games.
Okay.
But they've just destroyed the Kings and then the Warriors. I mean, those teams had no chance against them.
Right now you're taking, let's just say they play Minnesota, who's lost 11 games? Yeah, 11 games. You're taking Pelicans in a 7-game series over Minnesota?
Yes, I am right now.
Okay.
Again, if New Orleans is, let's say both teams are 100%.
Healthy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
OKC?
Yeah. I think they could beat them. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I predict they will win the West.
No.
But I think they are very competitive with all those teams above them right now, and I think they could beat them. I think they could very easily beat those teams.
Denver at 3, of course, the Clippers at 4, Kings at 5, everyone who's in front of them. Mm-hmm. Well, we already know the Kings have nothing for the Pelicans right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even going to throw them in there. Clippers have been playing very well, man.
Yep.
Kawhi signed a new deal.
You know,
he wants his 3 for $152. Paul George, you know, it seems like Harden, everything is working down that way. Denver, I think, is just kind of floating. And call us when it's go time, you know.
Well, it's tough to get us when it's better April. After you win a championship and then you lose Brown. It's hard to get better.
Agreed.
And that's, I think, the underlining story here for the Kings. With everything that we're talking about here, if you're the Kings and you look at all those teams in the conference, how do you improve here at the deadline? Because you probably, if you really want to have a chance to win the West, you have to, right? The Kings, if they want a chance to win the West this year, they have to do something. Would you agree?
100%.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're not winning the West as it stands.
Right.
No, I don't even, honestly, of course, we don't know where the cookie crumbles, but I'm not sure the Kings even get out the first round, depending on who they play this year. And I've been on record saying I truly believe if the Kings would have got past the Warriors, they would have beat the Lakers. I think they would have went to the Western Conference. I don't think the Lakers had anything for the Kings because, for me, the Kings just – they outran the Lakers every single time they played them last year. Now, they didn't sweep them, but they looked better against them compared to the Warriors. It was almost like the kryptonite for the Kings. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know, and for a long time, last year, remember – it was the Lakers, Warriors, and I'm blanking on the last team, and they were all kind of like, well, we might want, maybe the Clippers, we want to lose to kind of play the Kings. Like, remember, there was even reports from some of the national media, like some of the, you know, Windhorst got on and said the Lakers are absolutely want to fall in sixth spot to play the Kings. Well, yeah, I think they would have took the loss. That's just my opinion. The way it's kind of shaking out this year, like, no one expected Minnesota to be where they're at.
I didn't.
You know, I think they were kind of trying to figure out what Minnesota was going to be. You know, OKC was kind of a young and upcoming team, kind of like the Kings last year. We knew SGA had a fantastic year. We didn't know what Chet was going to do. You know, the Clippers were kind of an experiment. They're like Frankenstein. Denver, the returning champs. You know, I kind of expect the way it's shaking out right now, but I say all that to say, if the Kings want to, you know, take the nexus, the next step necessarily, I'm not sure the way it sits, man. Like, let's just say they fall to six and you play Denver first round. That's not a – I don't want that uphill battle, me as a Kings fan. I don't want to see that. And I'm not running from the competition. I'm just
– you'd like a more favorable matchup in the first round. Yeah, and just look at the last 10 in the West. Minnesota's 5-5. OKC 7-3, Denver 7-3, Clippers 7-3, Kings are 6-4, Pelicans 7-3. So these teams are starting to catch fire a little bit. It's a tough, tough conference, and it just underscores again how wide open it is, but also for the Kings, how vitally important it is for them to do something if they want to be competitive with those teams this year.
Yeah,
if
I agree.
If not, then you, whatever, you make the best of it this year and reload this offseason. I don't think fans would be too happy with that. Do you?
Of not making a move?
You don't make a move and say, you know what, it wasn't there, but we'll address it in the offseason.
I tell you this, man, if the Kings don't make a move, you talking about uproar? Uproar is going to happen. Yeah, it's definitely going to happen.
It's going to get ruckus, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, when we come back, if you were Bill Belichick, what would you do? Where would you go next? Can you believe it? He's not going to be the coach of the Patriots anymore. Next, Drive Guys, Sacktown. Manny has a question for us on the chat. Great question, Manny. Asking people to be honest here. What seed you guys think we will be by the end of the season? Whitey, JJ, the Drive Chat, and then people on the Drive Chat with their answers. Jay, I honestly think right now, I think sixth is where they're likely to end up. And if they do end up out of the play-in, that would be phenomenal. Even if you're in the play-in, if that's what happens and you get out of it, fine if you make the playoffs. But right now, the way I look at it, again, you know how I have this fear of the Pelicans, pelicanophobia, whatever it is. To me right now, my honest answer to Manny would be I would pick them to finish sixth. I know that's blasphemy, but that's my honest feeling.
No, you know, I'm actually going the same route.
Really?
I think it's going to be six. I think it's going to be right before the play-in, and I'm with that. You know, look what the Warriors did last year, finishing sixth. You can make a little damage.
Yeah.
I'm taking them to finish sixth. I'm not sure. It's real jumbled up right there, though. You know, you got the Clippers, Kings, Pelicans, and Mavericks. And quite honestly, I think Phoenix is going to get better as the year goes on. They haven't played well at all. You know, they're playing better, but they haven't played, you know, the expectations of – and maybe they'll never – you know, they'll probably still be on the roller coaster. But I think they're if you're asking me now, I think – another month or two, they're gonna turn it up a little bit.
But all of that could change, no matter what we think of any of these teams, depending on what happens.
Got a month.
Could totally
a little less
change.
Than a month.
Yeah,
absolutely.
By the way, Pelicans, believe it or not, are kind of badass. The animal. There's video. I'll find it for you if you want. You probably don't want me to. I've seen video of a pelican at a zoo, like getting into it with a weasel, and the pelican just says, "I've had enough," and just eats the weasel.
Just it's a weasel.
Swallows it up, puts it in. But a weasel is, you know, it's like a mammal.
I thought you were going to say jumped on an alligator or something. You know, jumped on a...
I'm not, He ate the weasel, Jay.
A meerkat.
A weasel is it's like a huge rodent type thing.
A rodent. A pelican's supposed to eat a rodent.
Pelican is like, no, we're not having that.
Throw it in the handbag neck.
Yeah, game over.
I'm not impressed, man.
Pelicans sit there and they're a weasel, like, oh, big dumb bird.
A weasel.
Yes. Weasels are crafty. Weasels have claws.
Like, not a mongoose, do you mean? Is that the same?
No.
It's very similar.
I feel like a mongoose is like a little ferocious.
It's a virtual mongoose.
Mongoose jump on a cobra. No, it's not virtually. It's not virtually a mongoose.
Very closely related.
The fact that
you brought
that ridiculousness to the drive guys that they talking about a pelican ate a weasel.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be scared of that.
Yeah, there's no phobia for pelicans specifically. We just have bird phobia.
Right. Ornithophobia. Probably.
Yep. Yeah. You nailed it.
Is it? Yeah.
Not scared of no pelican, man.
No. Well, I'm or scared a weasel. Of pelicans.
Or
I'm
a weasel.
I'm not scared of pelicans. I'm scared of the New Orleans pelicans. And I think pelicans are badass. But I'm not scared of them.
Because they're eating weasels.
Yeah. You know those long, they're like bridges in Florida where they're really, yeah. I was talking about this on the radio one time. It's not my first time. Some guy said, we used to have to watch out in Florida because they would fly along and you had to make sure they didn't fly in your car.
Pelicans?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Like they wanted the smoke or this was like accidental?
I don't know, Simone, okay. And I don't want to know.
Okay.
What I do want to know is...
Just learned that you're afraid of pelicans.
I'm not afraid of pelicans.
And weasels.
You want to know the worst experience I ever had with a bird, though? Real quick?
Come on.
Working at the pet shop in Vallejo, California.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had these really expensive parrots. And Roberta, the owner, who, as far as I know, she's still there on Tennessee Street. Great store, the pet shop. And me and her nephew one Sunday, she's like, you guys are in charge of the store today, right? I'm like, yeah, we got this.
Got it. Be the worst. A fish jump out the water?
Very expensive parrot escaped that day. Got out the window. And, I mean, those things are not cheap.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Got away.
But you're afraid of pelicans.
I'm not afraid of pelicans. I'm not afraid of pelicans. Not at all.
Just the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yes. Very afraid of them. Bill Belichick now getting back. Come on. That's enough tomfoolery. Bill Belichick. That is enough tomfoolery. If you're Bill Belichick, Jay, they came to an agreement with the Patriots, which is just stunning. But apparently it's a matter of, okay, seems like Kraft's good. Belichick's good. You have. It's funny because a few days ago we were talking about the five openings. There are now eight.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Quick.
Atlanta, Washington, Las Vegas, Seattle, Chargers, New England, Tennessee, Carolina. If you're Bill Belichick, what are you doing next? I'll tell you, there's a team that's not on there. If I were him, I would keeping an eye on
it. I'm with you. If I was Bill, I would one or two things. I would not coach this year and pinpoint the team that I absolutely want to coach next year, because there's just about, and maybe we're thinking the same team, and one of our cohorts, he's not here today, but I'd have my eye on that team, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
I would, knowing that Nick Sirianni is in hot sauce a little bit.
Yep, definitely.
And for sure, if they get eliminated this weekend, I'm not sure he gets fired, but knowing that Bill Belichick is out there and he makes a phone call to Philadelphia, you pick up the phone.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be there.
Coach, are you okay with if we bring you in, we think you're still a terrific coach. We just don't need you to make personnel
And that's
decisions.
For Howie Roseman. Right. That's cool.
You all right with
no
that,
problem.
Coach?
Absolutely. Yeah. He should be at this point.
Yes.
And I think he understands that. And, you know, we've heard the last couple of years he's hands-on and wants to be a GM and all that. But I think it's proven that it's too much for him. And hopefully, you know, he's an older gentleman. He should understand
72?
That, too.
Yeah.
And that's fine, man. Look, we're expanding life here, Whitey. I don't care about that.
Well, he's still a good coach. Yeah. I don't care if he's 102, if he's a coach.
And I think that, for me, if I'm Bill, those are the two things. Either I'm not coaching because those teams are good, but they're not where I want them to be. Like, all those teams that you've answered, they have a few things that I like and a lot of things I don't.
Right.
I'm not coaching, or I'm calling Philadelphia, and I'm saying, I'm with it. I'm on the East Coast. I'm a couple hours away. I'm good.
I'm with you on the notion of, look, I'm Bill Belichick. I don't want to go somewhere where I have to rebuild. I want to go somewhere where I know I'm going to have a good team.
Ready to win.
Yeah. Chargers have some talent. They have a quarterback. But the team I'd be keeping an eye on, I think Mike Florio wrote about this. It wouldn't be Philly. That's interesting. But the way things are, you know, it looks like maybe they've got some issues behind the scenes. I don't know if I want
to. I know where you're going.
Yeah. I wait till this all plays out. I hope this team doesn't win the Super Bowl.
Oh.
But anything short of that, I'm calling Jerry Jones.
Dallas?
Yeah. Next year, I'm taking over.
I thought you might be going there. This is my thing. I can't, as a 49er fan and an absolute Dallas Cowgirl hater, there's no possible way that I could ever wish success on the Dallas Cowboys. And I know if Bill went there, they become a little more scarier.
I think so.
I'm not even going to let my mind go there and think about it. But I do, you know, if I remove my fandom, that would be an absolute match made. I think Bill and Jerry would work together. I think Jerry recognizes greatness. Bill recognizes greatness. It's not America's team, as they always tout. It's not. It's Texas's team. That's okay. But I think it works fine. You know, I think it does. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if Dallas, because Dallas is set up to win a couple of games here.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And if they, let's just say they make it to the NFC Championship and you lose, it's going to be hard to get rid of Mike McCarthy.
It is. But you know Dallas, there's also a very good chance that they just fall flat in one of these games. And if they do, you know that Jerry's going to be looking for answers. And if I'm Bill Belichick, if that happens, you're right. Maybe they get the NFC title. Maybe they play well and they don't win it all, but they
still
play
well. But yeah.
But if they fall flat and I'm Bill Belichick, I'm Jerry's going to call me.
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, it's either him or Harbaugh. Like, if you're firing coaches, you fired your coach. I think Mike Vrabel is kind of starting to fall into the point of, like, why is he get fired? You know, a lot of people have come out and really come out and had his back and say, look, this guy's a fantastic coach. He should be coaching. And I think after Harbaugh, after Belichick, he'll probably be number three. But I think those top three guys right now, they're going to have a pick of the litter, man. Like, I think Harbaugh, for sure, if he comes out and announces, which he pretty much has by hiring Don Yee, his new agent, and let people know, like, look, I'm willing to play ball. I think those two guys, Belichick and Harbaugh, they have the pick of the litter, but I think Vrabel's a close third.
But it comes down to the litter. I think we talked about this. Now, I agree, if you're Harbaugh, too, you want to go somewhere. Harbaugh wants to win.
Yes.
I mean, he has – it's almost
unhealthy. I don't know a coach who wants to lose, but
– I know, but, you know. I mean, he needs to – he's not going to, oh, yeah, I'll go there and rebuild. He wants to win, so that limits, I think, where he could go. You know, realistically, how many of these teams on this list are set to win now? Maybe the Chargers. I think Vrabel maybe ends up in New England.
New England.
But what surprised you more, speaking of coaches, Saban stepping down or the Seahawks saying bye-bye to Pete?
Pete Carroll.
That surprised you more?
Yeah, you know? I think Pete. Because one thing about Saban, Alabama, like, he could, and he did it. He basically said it, like, look, I don't have it in me enough to give what I've been giving. And there comes a point in time, like, and he said, not verbatim, but it's getting harder for me to give the normal Nick Saban. Where Pete is like, nah, man, I still want to go.
Yeah,
let's get it. Honestly, man, and this is something that I haven't brought up, but like the Lou Riddicks of the world, because he comes to my mind. We had two or three guys on when this was another show, who absolutely came on his air and said the Seattle Seahawks would win the NFC West. You guys are out your mind.
Yes.
Absolutely out your mind.
Yes.
They didn't have no type of talent to win the NFC West. But the fact that they have even – before last year, Geno Smith was a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
He really was.
He was a bust. That's a nice way to put it.
Yes, he was a bust. Like, no one wanted him. He was a backup, serviceable backup. So the fact that Pete even got the best out of these guys to go up 500 and, you know, close to five or above 500, things like that, over the last couple seasons, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, but if you're ownership, you're right. But you look at it this like a graph, right, where, well, every year we're going down. We're not getting any better. because that's a guy that used to win Super Bowls. So that's probably how they look at it. The thing about
Super Bowl.
Saban to me is
don't give him no love. I'm a hater, Whitey. I don't listen. I don't give anybody no credit unless you earn it.
Singular.
Man. Yeah, Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, he won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
You went to Super Bowl.
There you go. Well, yeah. That's his fault for losing.
Yeah. The thing about Saban is I think the true great coaches who win, you know, at record rates, they get to a point where losing hurts more than winning feels good. You know, it's like when you win, it's like, oh, it's a relief. Woo. Because you're supposed to win. And then if you lose, it's like, I'm a total failure.
Mm.
You know, don't you think that's kind of how it is with Saban?
Maybe.
Yeah, when they won, it's like, yeah, of course you won. You're Alabama.
Yeah.
When you lose, like, ah, you suck. So it's a point where, well, what's the point anymore?
True. I agree. I mean, what are you accomplishing?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. I got you. Been there, done that.
I give him credit for stepping down.
Yeah.
We'll see how.
He's an OG in the game.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like dude
greatest
is 50.
College coach ever? College football coach ever?
Ooh, let me think on that during the break.
All right.
Let me think on that.
All right. We'll be right back. And by the way, got one for you to watch at True Sports Cards when we come right back. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Look, whether you care one iota about sports cards or not, there's one card that'll be available soon that you need to know about. Tell you all about it in just 1 second here with the Drive Guys. It's Whitey and Jay and Simone today. Kyle Draper is in Philadelphia. Just had this image of Kyle with his family, you know, with his parents today in his hometown. And they're saying, oh, let's listen to the show a little bit, see how they're doing without you. And they tune in and we're talking about weasels and pelicans. I hope that didn't happen, Jay. I hope it didn't come to that. Hopefully they're busy with other things.
No, it's all good, man. Look, one thing about it is this the thing. I know this is a sports show, but this is life, brother.
Yes.
One thing we do on the Drive, guys, we kick around life.
Yes.
And I just found out you're scared of weasels and pelicans, so we had to talk
that's
about it.
That's not exactly true.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what I heard.
I do feel badly because I thought I warned people. Steven Torres here on the chat says, I just Googled pelican eats weasel, and every video that just popped up was disturbing. Wow. I didn't say
why do you see what you're driving
heart.
Our listeners to do?
Yeah.
Driving them away from great content, and you over here talking about how petrified you are of a pelican.
Compio says, mess with an owl at night, terror. He also says, a vulture in Lincoln flew into my big rig. Tin says, an owl flew into my windshield the night in Folsom. Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, the Drive Guy listeners are talking about
yes.
how petrified they are of the birds.
This is the one that's probably not as strong from Crown Royal, and thank you for listening.
The purple bag.
When I was a kid, a bunch of turkeys were acting like they were going to jump me, but I got away.
What? They were going to jump them?
They were acting that way, but he...
How does turkeys act like they're going to jump you?
They circle around. They square up.
They're
yeah,
squaring
they square
up,
up
on you? Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Thank you.
I'm glad with you.
Yeah. You have turkeys where you live? Because they're all over.
I mean, they're right here.
Yeah.
No, not in the Thomas. We don't. Not where
very
I'm
good.
At.
Was that Simone or was
no,
that
no, that was the soundboard.
Oh, okay. It was Simone, wasn't it?
You have turkeys by your hut?
Yeah, all over. Sometimes,
you scared
sometimes
of them?
They're no, I'm not. But
have they acted like they're going to jump you?
No, because I know how to tell if they're upset or not.
Oh, you the bird whisperer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I take my dog for a walk, and a lot of times we encounter, it's amazing, sometimes like, wow, there's 20 turkeys here. Oh, we have them right across the street, huh? I've seen them.
Yeah, they around here all the time. They in the parking lot half the time.
Yeah. If they're ever protecting a nest, I've read that they can be really nasty, but I never encounter that.
Any mother protecting a nest is going to be nasty.
Sure. Their faces, if they're blue, they're like, they're cool.
Okay.
If they get red, just leave them alone.
Really?
If they're red, they're scared.
You're like the bird. You're like the turkey cat.
Yeah.
I didn't know the turkey whisperer. Man,
if
I'm learning
red,
a lot of things about you today, Whitey.
If they're red, that doesn't mean they're going to attack you, but it means they're upset.
Stay
if
away.
They're blue, they're like, oh, all right. We're chill. We're good.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
News to me there,
brother. Hang on to that. That
yeah,
may be very
I will. And the fact that we have like 18 people talking about birds attacking them or sliding into the big rig or somebody them. Don't mess with an owl at night or, I mean.
I'm just grateful we don't have more pelicans here around the Sacramento River and American River.
Yeah, you got to go to the coast, but they're spectacular birds. They're incredible birds.
We have to have a bird segment now. I'm going to figure it out moving forward.
I don't know. I think maybe we've exhausted the topic.
No.
We'll see.
It sounds like you have a lot of information about birds, Whitey.
A lot to unpack.
Now they're interesting creatures. Yeah. You know, there's an app now where you can, if you, if you can capture the call of a bird on the app, it'll tell you what kind of bird it is. Yeah,
it's like a Shazam of birds. Okay,
I think that's how
it's called
works.
Flock together.
Yeah, sure. Hey, can I tell you about this? This new sports card that you should keep an eye out for.
Okay,
LeBron James to appear on card with Bronny.
I saw
as
that
as part of a new deal with Fanatics. Let's see here.
Money making scheme, baby.
Yeah, LeBron and Bronny will appear together on a special card available January 19th in the 23-24 Bowman University Chrome set. LeBron will wear his high school uniform from St. Vincent, St. Mary's in Akron. Bronny will be in his current USC Trojans uniform. There's one where they're, I don't know how many of these they're making where they both autograph. It could be one of these one-on-one things. So, you know, you got to buy, they want everybody to buy, and then hopefully you'll get the one. The thing that this makes me think of, Jay, Simone, dear listener, this has got to be tough for Bronny, right? Forget the card. But just being LeBron's son, I'm reminded of when Michael Jordan gave his Hall of Fame acceptance speech, and he said, I feel sorry for my kids. And he was serious.
Mm.
He's like, living up to me, it's not easy. Bronny seems like he's doing okay with this, but he's going to be in the NBA, and his dad wants to play with him. And, I mean, if he's fine with it, great. I hope he is, but that can't be easy, right?
I don't know. I've never been there.
I haven't either.
You're talking to a different cat, too, on this side of the glass. But
you know what I mean, though,
yeah,
right? It could be difficult, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, your father's LeBron. To live up to the standards of LeBron has said, I would imagine, yes.
Yeah, and it's not like you're doing your own thing. You're doing your dad's thing.
Yeah, you don't have to, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure he plays basketball because he wants to. It looks like that from everything we've seen. And we've seen him on, you know, they've had the variations of different series that he's been on and things like that at Sierra Canyon High School. So it looks to me like he wants to play basketball. It looks like he really loves to be around the game. And Bryce, the younger son as well, look like they want to play basketball. I would imagine, you know, anyone who has grown up under the influence of having, you know, a father like Michael Jordan or, you know, LeBron James or, you
Roberto
know,
Clemente or
yeah,
Barry
like
Bonds
Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr., like all these different dads who were just
Ken
Hall
Griffey
of Famers,
Jr.,
the greatest.
His son, right?
Exactly. The third, I should say, almost, okay. Right? It's the third. It's got to be difficult, you know, when it comes to chasing the dream that their parents have achieved.
Because
there's a lot of other things that can't be difficult.
Pardon me. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
there,
please.
Let's just say you're on whatever team, and next year, Lakers, let's say, and LeBron's on the team, and then Bronny's on the team, and maybe you think he's not that good, but he's playing because he's Bronny. Wouldn't that be tough for Bronny and tough in some ways on teammates?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, very true. Come out and ball.
Yeah.
Got to come out and do your thing too, though, Whitey. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a decent ball player. He's gotten to college. He's doing okay. You know, I'm pretty sure he's gotten a little push and an oomph because of his last name. And again, you have detractors and you have people who support you. So far, he's held his own decently when it comes to playing basketball.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it translated to the for him playing into the NBA. But look, you know, Lord willing, we'll see. The great part about it is, you know, not to be superficial, but if it doesn't go the way that he wants to go, it's not like he doesn't have pops to lean back on too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not insulting him or denigrating him. I just think it could be a really awkward situation to be in some ways when you're playing with your dad and your dad's LeBron. But I think you're right. I mean, so far, every indication that we get publicly is he's handled it really well. So good for him.
So far.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to the best of his ability, you know, definitely.
All right. We'll take a timeout when we come right back. Back to the Kings here. Why Mike Brown believes the Kings are close to being the best Kings they can be. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.